Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast. And today I have founder and CEO Sankar with me. And I have a question for you about being a CEO and a founder. How do you balance your time? How do you manage your wellness?
I didn't really have a good balance till we had COVID. And during that time, I picked up road biking. You know, by a couple of my friends put me on to road bikes, and then I now bike regularly every weekend if there is no rain, of course. The Orange County area has a lot of biking trails and stuff, a lot of really cool places. So that's the only thing that I do at this point. It's very meditative, go on those long bike rides and have my family. You know, they keep me grounded.
Yeah, I agree. You know, spending time with your family keeps you clear, grounded, and having other perspectives, so you're not all about business all the time. And I was wondering if you could go a little bit into how did Odyssey get born? You know, like how did you start with entrepreneurship?
Sure. I was actually working for a charity called the Shankarai Foundation, and one of the other founders had a company called QFlex. They were making flexible PCBs. He brought me in to help him make some speakers. There was our CTO, Drag, was also looking for something to do, and that's how we came together. And Alex, my other friend, joined, and we started Odyssey. Our initial idea actually was to make speakers. We did not know about, we didn't do much research into headphones at that time. And then we made our first headphone because making speakers was very expensive proposition. We couldn't really afford on a bootstrapped budget. And we took one of those headphones to a local headphone show. This was late 2009 when, all these forums and stuff were getting, on HeadFi and other places were getting very active. So the people on HeadFi, which is a forum that still is probably the most popular audio forum today, they started talking to us and encouraging us to actually make these headphones. And we made our first headphone called LCD2, and it took off. And that's how we have been in this business.
Yeah. And my question for you, because I'm right now rocking the LCD5s. My question is, how did you kind of, once you kind of got into the headphone market, how did you get into other areas? Because, I'm an audiophile, and then there's also video gamers who love rocking the Odysseys. So I guess, how did you kind of figure out once you started with the idea, how did you start like flourishing and coming up with different iterations?
Initially, it was just audiophile headphones. And if you look at our first headphones, they were all made out of wood, the wood rings and stuff. Primarily because it was cheaper to do wood rings. Plastic injection molding was expensive, and we were still bootstrapped at the time. And as we started expanding and started selling our first headphones, immediately, because of the accuracy of our headphones, professional users like musicians and sound engineers almost immediately started using them as well. And that gave us a second market to immediately latch onto. Right. And then we wanted to expand the market. As we started, we had our factory here in Los Angeles. We were making all these drivers, and we wanted to expand out of these, what I call niche areas, into a little bit more broader area. And our first attempt to do that was actually a headphone called the Elite with lightning connectors. You know, at the time, Apple had ditched the headphone jack, and lightning connector was becoming popular. So we made a headphone, and Apple put us in the Apple stores at that time, because that was the first headphone with a lightning connector that came to market. And that gave us a huge marketing, exposure. But then soon we realized that to go into the mainstream audio business requires a lot more investment and a lot more scalability, which we did not have at that time. So we decided to look for more niche, I won't say niche areas, but more areas where people talk to each other more, and there's a community and stuff, pro audio or audiophiles. And then gaming was an obvious choice, because a lot of gamers also started using our headphones at the time. So, but one thing that was different about gaming headphones is there's a lot of small nuances that you have to get right. You can't just slap a microphone and call it a gaming headphone. You need dual endpoints for USB, low latency audio. So we worked on all those things. I think Maxwell is probably one of the best reviewed gaming headsets now. And that's how we got into the gaming market.
Yeah, wow. So it's kind of coming with different iterations and kind of observing how the market takes to the different products that you're creating. Can you go into maybe, I know your story is really inspirational in the sense of your business started in the garage, and a lot of amazing businesses kind of start that way. Can you kind of go into where the beginning phases were that maybe could inspire other entrepreneurs who are maybe in that garage right now?
The initial days, one of the things that when people ask me, did you have an idea of what you're going to do? And we were very naive. We did not know what we were doing. We made a lot of mistakes. And the reason I mentioned this is because it took us several iterations, even before Maxwell, to get the Maxwell right. There are a lot of bigger companies with much more money and resources, and we are a small niche player. And we are, so it is important for us to create differentiated products. So the one thing that we haven't lost is our North Star is always we want to make cutting-edge products. It's not the same. Other people are there to make it. It is what can we bring in that is very different than other companies. So that has been our North Star for a long time, and this will continue. So that is what actually helps us. And again, it's perseverance, right? You try different things, try to figure out where the market is going, because each headphone takes about 18 to 24 months to actually bring to the market. So if I start designing a headphone today, I have to figure out, hey, what will be the market's demand in 18 months or 24 months? And that's a key part of it, trying to figure out what products you should make 24 months from now or next few years. And some of this actually came from our first design company that we used, at Odyssey, BMW Design. So they taught us some of these things and their philosophy and stuff that we tried to imbue and put it into Odyssey. When we did the first products, Elite and Shine headphones, BMW has a design center here called DesignWorks near Thousand Oaks. So that's where they design all the electric cars and stuff. So they sometimes also do design projects for other companies outside. So in the early days, we somehow convinced them to work with us. And when we went and met with, they asked us what is our philosophy in product development, all these things, which we had never thought about till that point. We had like, okay, we make this and stuff like that. So Neil Brooker, their director of design at that time, sat us down and explained to us how they think about it in their own way. They think about, okay, 10 years from now, this is where I want to be. Right. And then I have two product cycles between them. I can release two products. So what do I have to do to work backwards to go to where I want to be? What is it, 30% of it I can achieve in the next few years? Can I achieve the next 60% in that? So we try to do those kind of things. For example, we realized quite early that spatial audio will be something very interesting. So when we designed the Mobius headphones, for example, in 2017, and even Maxwell, we tried to see if we can put design some of those things into our headphones. So that's basically our, philosophy is like try to figure out what we want to do a few years down the lane and try to see if we can achieve a portion of it in the next release and the next release.
Wow. So creating that roadmap, having your target and then creating that roadmap, reverse, I guess, bringing it back to engineering, reverse engineering it, and
Correct.
finding that roadmap and that template. Now, a question I have for you bringing up engineering is that you come from an engineering background. Your master's is in electrical engineering. If you were talking to yourself when you were getting your master's, what would be three key points that you would tell someone who's currently in college or going to school for engineering? Some three points that you've learned along your path.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is there's a lot of people out there who are willing to help you. You just need to ask and don't be too shy. And some of these things you can pick it up along the way. You don't need to be an expert in everything. For example, when we started Odyssey the first time, we went to a bank to get a loan. I never, you see, as you mentioned, my background is engineering. I'd never taken a course in finance or accounting ever in my life, because in India, you don't need to take a course in accounting or finance as a part of your textbook. So the first time we went to a bank to get a loan, the bank manager asked me, "What is your EBITDA?" And I had no clue. I had never heard this term before. I mean, it was like, then I called up one of my uncles in Texas, and he was a CPA, and he's like, "Why don't you come here for a week and sit down with me and learn some basics of these things?" So I actually went, spent a few, I think a weekend and a few days sitting with him and learning basics of how do you do accounting and how do you set up, projections and cash flow analysis, which I do till today at Odyssey. So those are the kind of things that actually help. So, never be shy about things that you do not know. The thing world is big and we don't know everything. And the second thing is perseverance, right? You need to keep working on things. Those are the two main things. Other than that, everything else, you can do with. But these two things, I think, are core factors.
Now with Odyssey and, innovation, what are some things, like you were saying, 10 years out, what are some visions that you have for the company and where you think things will be going? You mentioned Atmos and other things. So where do you see things going?
There's going to be a lot of progress. One of the areas where we are investing heavily or doing research heavily is in wireless, low latency wireless, right? So with the new headphones that we worked with PlayStation headsets that are launching in a couple of weeks, these have a lossless wireless link that actually is very low latency, especially for gaming and even for musicians who play music and guitars and stuff in the future. I think this will become a very useful feature. So this is one area where we are putting a lot of emphasis on. The second area, of course, is spatial audio. We are now agnostic. We are pretty open about our sensor information. Any plug-in manufacturer or anybody who works in spatial audio can access our headphones, sensor information, and use it in their own algorithms. In fact, we had one very interesting interaction from a university group, Case Western University. They are doing research on Earth's magnetic field and how it gets affected by the solar winds and solar flares. And they are using head tracking headphones to figure out how these things change over a period of time by measuring the field from various points in the earth and mapping them. I mean, which is very, very different than what we talk about, but there are a lot of these interesting things coming up that are enabled because of new sensors embedded into the headphones, whether they're health sensors, accelerometers, these kind of things. The last one, I think, where will things will change significantly is on AI. If you see our latest Maxwell headphone, it has a neural network accelerator. It removes all the noises, whether a dog barking or children crying or anything, out of your microphone in real time. And that's one of the features that we get the most positive feedback on. And as these chipsets become cheaper, I think more of these algorithms can be put, not just noise removal, but can be put enhancements in speech for people with hearing issues or people with the disabilities. Can we enable them to hear things in a different way, like pitch shifted and stuff like that? And those kind of things, I think, will have major impact. One of my favorite apps is an app that I use called, it's an app that allows me to remove things in music. I just need to upload a song that I have, and I can only hear the guitar strings or the vocals. So those kind of things are becoming very easy to access. Not only easy to access, but easy to make. To make those kind of software or make that kind of headphones, what would take us 18, 24 months would be a couple of months now to those features. So those accessibility to those kind of features will change a lot of headphones. I expect every headphone to have the noise removal feature built in by default in future. Those kind of things. So those are the three things I think we are putting a lot of emphasis on: wireless, spatial audio, and AI.
That's so true. And innovation and all that. I ask each of my guests to give me one word that kind of bonds them with creativity. And I was wondering what that one word would be for you, Sankar.
Perseverance, right? I think people need to keep working on things. Sooner or later, it clicks and the effort comes to fruition. It might not be quickly done overnight, but over a long period of time, things, you get the good karma accumulating.
Right? I agree. You got to build off that good karma. And the other thing I now start asking my guests is, what piece of art kind of inspires you? Is there something that you go back to, whether it's a book, poem? What would that one piece of art be?
Yeah, quite a few things. In fact, we actually have it's a little bit of fun. The company Odyssey itself is named after 2001 Space Odyssey movie. You know, the most intense movie I've ever seen. You know, when I saw it, I actually saw it in the Egyptian theater. They had put the 70 mm, they had brought it back. I think it was 40 years after release or 50 years after release or something. There was an event. And I actually bought a poster of the movie. And that was actually in my room in my previous job. And when we were looking for the names for Odyssey, we tried to replace the word Odyssey. And the only domain name that was available was Odyssey. That's how we ended up with the name. But even in art, a lot of our products, logo, and other things are inspired by M.C. Escher. So if you look at our logo, it is similar to a Penrose triangle, inspired by a Penrose triangle. We have products called Mobius, Penrose, Deckard, and a lot of these products as well have science fiction character names or products names. Some of the design itself, for example, is inspired by science fiction. We have a small speaker product called Filter. And the design of it was inspired by the TARS robot in Interstellar. You know, you can see, you know, it upside down, it looks like that. So quite a bit of, you know, a lot of science fiction geeks at Odyssey. And, you know, it's, we try to make things that seem impossible true. That's, you know, like when we put head tracking in Mobius 7, 8 years ago, or now with these newer products, you know, and I think that resonates with us with the false perspective and impossible drawings that Escher made. So,
yeah. So it's dreaming the impossible and making it true. And, you know, just like you were saying, is like that perseverance and targeting those, where are you going to be in 10 years? And with our creatives, you know, you just got to map it out, kind of like Sankar was saying. And where can some of our guests either find you or find Odyssey and learn more about Odyssey and what they're up to?
Yeah, so recently we were purchased by Sony, the Sony Interactive Entertainment Group. So we are now working with them on the PlayStation products as well. But you can find us on odyssey.com. So Odyssey will be an independent entity making our own products. We'll also work on PlayStation products. So you can find us on odyssey.com or on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. You know, and it's quite easy to find us. And but we are also one of the few people who manufacture a lot of things locally. We are in Opportunity, we are in Santa Ana. We are probably the biggest transducer manufacturer in the US now. Because we make all the transducers for Odyssey headphones and also the new PlayStation units here in LA. So we have a factory on 405 and Harbor, and we do, you know, people can email us and then come visit us if they want to.
Yeah, and I know that you also have a fun YouTube video. I'll make sure to include that in our podcast link so that they can get a tour virtually too, because I know we have some international listeners as well. So yeah, thank you so much, Sankar, for contributing your awesome innovation and creativity to the Limitless podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.